Ich halte die Kriegsführung seitens der Ukraine für ein hohes sicherheitspolitisches Risiko, auch für die Bundesrepublik Deutschland. Sie können nicht, so wie es Roger Köppel heute Morgen in seinem Weltwoche-Daily-Podcast gesagt hat, dem großen Bären mit einem heißen Eisen die ganze Zeit im Auge herumstochern, wie der Drohnenangriff tief nach Russland hinein, und dann erwarten, dass nichts passiert. Der Bär wird irgendwann mit der Pranke ausholen.
This is my video update on this Saturday evening, May the 16th. Let's talk about some news. And before we jump into today's news topics, remember to like this video. If you are not subscribed to this channel, then please subscribe to this channel. And if you are watching this video on YouTube via your mobile device, then hype up this video. You get 3 hypes a week. And if you allocate one of those hypes to this video, it would be very much appreciated. Let's get into the news and let's start things off with confirmation that Russian President Vladimir Putin will indeed be heading to China. He will be going to China, confirmed by the Kremlin, confirmed by China as well, on May the 19th and 20th. So, less than a week from Trump's visits, we have Russian President Vladimir Putin traveling to China to meet with Xi Jinping. And in my video update yesterday, I talked about Xi and Trump's walk in the Secret Garden. And Trump asked Xi if any other presidents or prime ministers had been to the Secret Garden, and I made a mistake. And I did not point out that Xi Jinping had actually told Trump, when he asked that question, if he had brought any other world leaders to the Secret Garden. Xi Jinping actually mentioned that Putin had been to that very location. This is coming from the New York Times. For example, Putin, how Xi used a private garden walk to charm Trump. Watch an exchange between the two men in which the Chinese leader sought to signal exclusivity and name-dropped the Russian president. So he had taken Putin to the Secret Garden. Trump must have been disappointed at that revelation. Anyway, let's see what the New York Times is saying. Or maybe he didn't care. Maybe he didn't care if Putin had been to the Secret Garden. The New York Times said that the Chinese leader stops the tour to point out a tree that is more than 100 years old, noting that it is actually two trees that have merged together, a possible allusion to Mr. Xi's calls for the two countries to work together. That's actually pretty cool. If Xi was walking with Trump and there were two trees 100 years old and they had merged together, and Xi used the trees to allude to a China-U.S. Cooperation, that's pretty cool, pretty clever. What an awesome statue. That is awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. So what else is the New York Times saying? Mr. Trump stops the tour to ask if Mr. Xi often brings foreign leaders to Zhongnanhai. Very rarely, says Mr. Xi, shaking his head. He points to Mr. Trump and says with a chuckle, for example, Putin has been here, referring to President Putin, a closer partner of Beijing's, whom Mr. Trump has publicly admired. That is coming from the New York Times. A closer partner to Beijing is Putin. Yeah, he is. That's true. No doubt about that. By the way, the interview that Trump gave to Hannity, which I mentioned yesterday as well, Trump actually claimed that China offered to help the United States with regards to Iran, and that Trump declined China's offer to help. You should have taken that offer. You should have said, yeah, we need some help. Can you guys help us out? You know, the interesting part to this story, to this statement from Trump to Hannity, is that Rubio had said that the United States was going to meet with Iran. They were going to meet with China to tell China to drop Iran. That's what Rubio said before they arrived in Beijing. And then Trump also talked about how he had managed a couple of concessions from Xi Jinping with regards to Iran, which are not really concessions, but Trump frames them as some sort of negotiated victory, but not at all. Not at all. Anyway, the concessions that he mentioned were that China agreed to not send weapons to Iran, and that China also wants the Strait of Hormuz open. Those are not concessions, but Trump needed to claim some sort of a victory with regards to Iran during his China trip. But then he made the claim that Iran offered to help, and he told them, we don't need any help. You need help. You should have taken the help. Yep, you should have. You should have said, yeah, I wonder how that conversation went. Rubio and Trump telling China, telling Xi Jinping, we want you to drop Iran. We want you to walk away from Iran so that we can blockade you better, so that we can blockade you harder, hit Iran, so that we can stop all of the energy supplies coming your way. Will you do that for us, China? And then China telling Trump, do you need our help with Iran? We can help you if you need our help. Nah, we don't need your help. Anyway, an interesting bit of news there, an interesting update on some of the news that I mentioned yesterday. So here's some interesting news. Russian President Putin signed a decree yesterday where he is going to make it easier for citizens of Transnistria, for people living in Transnistria, to become Russian citizens. Isn't that interesting? So what do you guys think this is about? This is a decree. He signed this. If you're living in Transnistria, if you're a resident of Transnistria, it's going to be a simplified process to get Russian citizenship. What is going on here? Maybe Putin just wants to make it easier for people in Transnistria to become Russian, to have a home, protection under the Russian Federation, Mother Russia. Maybe that's what this is all about. And that's it. Maybe, though, this is about Moldova and the EU fast-tracking or trying to fast-track Moldova, the Harlem Globetrotters. That's cool. Trying to fast-track Moldova into the EU, and then Russia's anticipating that they're going to make a move on Transnistria. So he's kind of beating them to the punch. Or perhaps Russia knows that Ukraine and NATO, they're going to open up a second front against Transnistria. And so if you have all more Russian citizens there, then you can block. You can come to their protection and block some sort of opening of a second front. Is that what this is about? Or is Russia preparing for the day when they make a move on Odessa and they take over the entirety of the Black Sea, and you go through Odessa and you connect with Transnistria, and you connect with your citizens in Transnistria. So you control the entire Black Sea from Odessa all the way to Transnistria, where you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Russian citizens, Russian speakers and Russian citizens. Is that what this is about? What do you guys think is going on here with this decree from the Russian president? Let me know in the comments down below. The Green Goblin is very paranoid. He is paranoid. Yesterday, he came out with some statements claiming that Russia is looking to take him out. He claims that he has documents and evidence from Ukraine intel, which basically means CIA or MI6 intel. Whenever he says Ukraine intel, it's MI6 or CIA intel. But he claims that he has documents which show that Russia wants to strike Kiev. They want to hit government buildings. They want to hit his building, his palace. They want to hit military facilities inside Kiev. He also claims that Russia wants to get Belarus involved in the war, and they want to launch an attack from Belarus towards Kiev. And they're going to target decision-making centers. And that's what he was saying yesterday. Very afraid, Zelensky. Maybe he does have these documents. I mean, it's possible, absolutely possible, that Russia is going to start making moves towards Kiev. I don't think they want to target Zelensky, though. I mean, Zelensky's never in Kiev anyway. You're never there, bro, right? You're never in Kiev. You're there for maybe a night. You're in Kiev for one night, and then you're traveling elsewhere. But Zelensky understands the collective West, the intel agencies. They understand that if they are to make some sort of a move into Kiev, well, that's the capital of Ukraine, and that's the seat of power. That would collapse the Zelensky government, and that could mean an end to the conflict if they were to successfully make a move towards Kiev. And so they're very freaked out whenever they hear about any kind of Russian military activity focusing on Kiev. It really, really freaks the collective West and NATO and the Green Goblin out, because, you know, the Green Goblin, he is doing everything he can to stay in power. Losing Kiev would mean the collapse of his regime. No more power for the Green Goblin. He would be in big trouble. So anyway, he is talking about Kiev, about Russia making a move towards Kiev. Of course, this could also be distraction. Maybe Russia is going to make a move towards Kiev. It's possible. It could also be Zelensky's way of distracting, right, from all the scandals in his regime, Yermak, and all of that stuff, Mindich, the golden toilets. Maybe he's trying to distract away from it by saying, they're coming after me now. The Russians are trying to take me out. Keir Starmer, give me some money. Macron, give me some money. Carney, I need a couple of billion. Okay, here's a couple of billion, right? You always got to spin it into some sort of money-making opportunity. Even the distractions are an opportunity for Le Gobelin Vert to make some money. So how about the drone chaos in Finland, huh? This one's coming back around to bite Finland and the Baltic states right in the butt. This whole drone thing, because Russia's jamming the drones, they're using electronic warfare, and so the drones that are using the airspace of the Baltic countries and of Finland, and they're using the airspace to hit St. Petersburg and Moscow. Now Russia's jamming these drones, and they're redirecting them back over the border. And what's happening is that they're landing in Latvia, or they're landing in Finland, and they're causing all kinds of disruptions and chaos. And yesterday in Finland, well, in Latvia, the government fell. The government collapsed because of this. And yesterday in Finland, they had to shut the whole city of Helsinki down, is my understanding. Crazy stuff was going on in Helsinki because of Ukrainian drones that were over the airspace in Helsinki in Finland. And I think some of those drones were crashing, were landing in certain areas. I'm not sure what areas they were landing in, but fighter jets were scrambled. The Helsinki airport was closed for 3 hours. Public transport was disrupted. Some government officials didn't go to work. They were told to stay indoors. A real problem for Alexander Stubity Stub, right? He was supporting the whole drone thing. All of these guys, Finland, the Baltics, Poland, they thought they were very clever with the whole drone thing. Very clever. We got the drones. Yeah, we're going to look the other way as they fly over our airspace to hit St. Petersburg and Moscow. And now the drones are effectively being used against them, right?
And they've already caused one government to collapse in Latvia. And in Finland, it was a pretty chaotic day. That's my understanding of things. Anyone watching from Finland, is it true? Was Helsinki Airport closed for 3 hours? Did fighter jets get scrambled because of this drone incident? I know Estonia and Finland are now actually telling the Green Goblin to cut it out. I mean, they know what he was doing. they've known all along, right? That was the plan, to use their airspace to hit Russia. But now they're making it out as if we don't know anything and we're telling Ukraine to cut it out. Okay, we believe you. You knew nothing, as Ukrainian drones were using your airspace to hit the Leningrad region and to hit St. Petersburg. And now, because they're landing on your side of the border and they're causing all kinds of disruptions and problems, and it's very dangerous as well, now you're telling Ukraine to stop it. We knew nothing about this. Stop using our airspace. Yeah, we believe that. Anyway, that's the news out of Finland. Let's discuss Cuba. And we got some big news out of Cuba. They got the oil shortages are back. They have problems with oil and energy again. There are no Russian ships making their way to Cuba this time around. At least I don't think there are any Russian ships making their way to Cuba. And Cuba's running out of energy. We have more blackouts now. And we also have, I think I need a ticket. I think I need a ticket for this. Anyway, maybe we'll come back another day. We have the trip from Ratcliffe. Did you guys hear about that? 2-3 days ago, the CIA director, Ratcliffe, he ended up in Havana. Ratcliffe and his CIA team, and they delivered a message to the leadership of Cuba from Trump, to the leadership of Cuba, but from the CIA, really. I mean, you know, the CIA lands in Havana, and their message, according to Ratcliffe, now Ratcliffe posted all of this on X. He posted the photos of himself in Cuba meeting with the Cuban leadership, so this is not some sort of secret or anything like that, or some sort of investigative reporting that has uncovered this. No, Ratcliffe posted all of this, the CIA director. And his version of the story is that the United States, they told the Cuban leadership, look, make some changes and we're going to help you out with your energy shortages and the blockade. We'll ease up on the blockade. We'll help you out with the energy shortages. So they're blockading Cuba and they're saying, we're going to help you out now. We're preventing energy from reaching you, but we'll help you out. But what we want from you is we want some changes. Right? So that's how they described the meeting that took place in Havana. Now, what most likely is going on here is that the Trump administration, the CIA, is basically delivering an ultimatum to Cuba. This wasn't about, hey, come on, guys, make some changes, and then we'll ease up on the blockade, right? No, this is like mafia tactics ultimatum. We're blockading you. You're out of energy. Got energy shortages. We want regime change. You guys need to step down. We want you guys gone. Those were the terms. That's the ultimatum that they gave to Cuba. In my opinion, no doubt about it. That's how I'm looking at this. Ratcliffe shows up in Havana, and the CIA tells them, you guys got to go. We want regime change. We can do this the hard way. We can do this the easy way. The easy way is you guys leave. And the hard way is that we tighten up the blockade, and we make things even more difficult for you, and we get the regime change that way. Who knows? Maybe we'll even kidnap you like we did Maduro. You know, the DOJ, they're actually working on an indictment of the former president, Raul Castro, who is also the former defense minister of Cuba. Raul Castro is 94 years old. and the DOJ is working on an indictment for Castro. Very much like Venezuela and Maduro, huh? The same exact playbook. They did the same thing with Maduro. Eventually, they had people on the inside in Venezuela, and they managed to go into Venezuela and kidnap Maduro and his wife. I wonder if they're going to do the same thing with Castro or with the leadership of Cuba. But the same thing, you put out an indictment, the DOJ then puts out a reward, like they did with Maduro, $50 million, they then put out a reward for Castro and other leadership, the other leadership of Cuba. And then they come up with some operation and they take them. Or they come up with something else to push for a regime change. Something quick, something that Trump likes. He likes it quick. Go in, get the regime change, take the leadership out, kidnap the leadership, and then Trump comes out and says, what a great victory that he's gotten in Cuba, in much the same way that he did with Venezuela. And he needs a victory. He needs a W because he's taking a lot of L's when it comes to Iran. So they're using the same playbook with Cuba. They're delivering the terms. They're telling them to leave. They said the same thing to Maduro, actually. About a year ago, there was a New York Times article which claims that Rubio met with Maduro. That's what the New York Times article claims. He met with Maduro, and Rubio told Maduro, you got to leave. If you don't leave, we can do it the hard way or the easy way. If you don't leave, then we're going to do it the hard way. And according to the New York Times, I don't believe it, but according to the NYT, Maduro told Rubio, okay, I'll go. But I want amnesty. I want to make sure that you guys don't go after me, that you guys don't chase me. If I leave, you're going to leave me alone. And according to the New York Times article, if I remember correctly, Rubio said, no, no way. You got to leave, but we're not going to stop chasing you, or we're not going to grant you any type of amnesty or anything like that. Right? We're going to continue to hunt you down and chase you down. And Maduro said, forget that. But that's what the New York Times was writing. I don't really believe so much about that article, but probably those terms were presented to Maduro, and they're doing the same thing with Cuba now, right? They're presenting terms to Cuba as well. We want the government gone, or else. So anyway, something is cooking in Cuba, and a lot of it has to do with the debacle in Iran, no doubt about it. They need something quick, something big and quick and easy for the Trump administration in Cuba to take away from the mess that is Iran. So sticking with Trump, we have his financial disclosures, which have been published. Trump making all kinds of money on big tech stocks. He's a tech bro, Trump. He bets big on tech. Palantir, Nvidia, all those tech companies. Trump was buying and selling stock. He didn't do anything illegal. Nothing illegal, but perhaps it's time for the United States, for Congress, to start looking into stock trading if you're a very high up government official, right? Or if you're the president of the United States, or if you're Nancy Pelosi, or even married to Nancy Pelosi, perhaps they should do something about all of these stock trades that are making them all kinds of money. Yeah, so Trump, according to these financial disclosures, Trump, he purchased up to 1 million worth of NVIDIA stock on January 6th. A week later, the Commerce Department officially approved the sale of NVIDIA chips to China. How about that? Lucky bet. Lucky trade. What else? Trump bought Palantir. The records show Trump purchased between roughly 247,000 and 630,000 of Palantir stock in early 2026. Including multiple buys in March. He later promoted the company in an April Truth Social post during a sharp sell-off in tech stocks. And it goes on and on and on. Yeah. He made good trades. He made good trades. But nothing illegal. Let me find, one second, let me find the passage which explains how none of this is wrong. None of this is legal. U.S. presidents are not banned from trading financial markets, but must disclose personal trades. No charges were made or proven acts of insider trading have been outlined, but the revelation still draws ethics scrutiny and the push for trading restrictions. So there you have it. Now, some of these trades, according to the disclosures, were made by brokers. They weren't made by Trump personally. A broker made these trades. There's speculation that some of the companies that Trump has may have made these trades on his behalf, maybe his kids, Trump Jr. and Eric Trump were active in these trades. But anyway, Trump, big on tech, making big money, timing the market perfectly, something I just can't seem to do. I don't know why I can't seem to time the market like Pelosi or Trump, but anyway, AMD, Intel, Seagate. Yeah, he was buying all the big tech stocks. Also Paramount, I think, and Boeing. So anyway, those were the disclosures from Trump, the financial disclosures. Let's talk about Eurovision. Let's do an update on Eurovision, because the chief of Eurovision, he shocked the cool kids in Europe, shocked them big time with a statement that he made to LBC. The big boss of Eurovision said in his statement that theoretically, he said, Russia could participate in the Eurovision Song Contest, theoretically. and the Europeans, they went absolutely crazy. The EU cool kids, the globalists, they lost their minds. The Green Goblin lost his mind. What is this guy saying? Theoretically, they could perform at Eurovision contest, Podolyak. Theoretically, President, theoretically. I don't understand what that mean. But yeah, he shocked the globalists with that statement. Look, Eurovision needs countries. Why would Russia participate in Eurovision anyway? They shouldn't even participate in Eurovision. What would you even be doing at Eurovision? Anyway, Eurovision needs countries because they got big time boycotts, right? They've got Spain boycotting. They got the Netherlands boycotting, Ireland's boycotting, Slovenia's boycotting, and another country's boycotting. Five countries are boycotting. I forgot the fifth country. What's the fifth country, guys? Let me know in the comments down below. I forgot. Spain, Netherlands, Slovenia. What did I say? Ireland. And there's one more country that's boycotting. And when I mean boycott, I messed this up a couple of days ago. I wasn't so sure about what the boycott meant. I was thinking, is it a boycott on the broadcasting of the show, but they're still going to have an artist perform, compete? No, this is a boycott. My understanding is that this is a full boycott. They're not going to broadcast the show. They're not going to have any artists competing in the show. This is a complete boycott of Eurovision. And the reason that they're boycotting it, which I mentioned previously in a past video, is because of Israel's participation, and because there are allegations that Israel rigged some of the voting in past contests. And so these countries are boycotting the entire event. But I forgot the fifth country. It's driving me crazy. Anyway, we'll find out what that fifth country is when I finish recording this video. So we have Spain's Sanchez, who says that the Eurovision boycott puts it on the right side of history. That is what Sanchez says. But look, Eurovision needs countries to participate because countries are dropping the contest. So what are they? Are they hinting at Russia? Come on, Russia, come back. Come back to Eurovision. Russia should say no. We're not going to come back to Eurovision. Buzz off, guys. Buzz off with that Eurovision nonsense. We're not interested. Theoretically, according to the chief of Eurovision. Theoretically. Anyway, all right. So that's enough with Eurovision. And we now have Clown World. We can do some Clown Worlds and we'll talk about Germany. We got Germany in today's Clown World. And we have Olaf Scholz. Olaf Scholz is back. Don't call it a comeback. You know, Olaf Scholz should thank me. He should call me up and thank me for making him very, very tough, assertive, manly with my Scholz Trudeau skit. Trudeau, you idiot. Right? Yeah, man, I turned Scholz into a tough leader. Right? No, he's not a tough leader. He was not a tough leader at all. He's at a conference with Blinkety Blinken. And this is what Olaf Scholz said at this conference. I can't believe he said this. I mean, I had to read this like 10 times. I was thinking this has to be AI. There's no way this is real. But it's real. I guess it's real. I don't know what to say. So Olaf Scholz said NATO was founded, as a famous American military officer once said, for keeping the Russians out, keeping the United States in, and keeping the Germans down. There is a sense in it. There is a sense in it. This is the former chancellor of Germany. Some translations have it as there is a sense to it. But still, NATO is about keeping the Russians out, keeping the Americans in, and keeping Germany down. By the way, I think it was the first NATO Secretary General, Lord Ismay, that actually came up with that phrase, not an American military officer. But anyway, a chancellor of a country saying, you know what, it makes sense to keep our country down. What? What? It makes sense for America to occupy our country. Okay, I guess if that's the way it is, that's a good thing for Olaf Scholz, for the SPD. Who am I to argue with that? He was the former chancellor. He's saying it makes sense. Absolutely, there's a sense to it. An amazing statement from Olaf Scholz, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised one bit. Sticking with the same conference, Blinkety Blinken, he started to talk about how when he was Secretary of State, when Biden was president, Germany's approval of the United States was high. And now with Trump, Germans consider the United States an adversary. Blinken said 70% of Germans consider the United States an adversary. Now, if you'd taken that poll 2 years ago, you would have gotten a very, very different result. I remember, Chancellor, when we were together at the G7, I remember President Biden was sitting with Macron, and Biden said, America's back. And Macron said, for how long? I can see Biden saying that. America's back, Jack. America's back, corn pop. And Macron saying, for how long? Then Brigitte. No, that didn't happen. But yeah, America's back. That's what Biden said. So under his presidency, Germany and the United States, best of buddies. The German people had a very, very high approval rating of Bidenopolis and of the United States. And now with Trump, not so much. And then Nord Stream got blown up, right? Then they blew up Nord Stream. Remember all of that? Yeah. There's some music. I'm going to have to turn down the... I'm not sure where that music is coming from. Let me turn down the audio. It's a bar. It's a bar, and there are actually some people in there dancing, having a good time on this Saturday afternoon. almost early evening. So yeah, remember Biden at the White House? Let me cross over. With Olaf Scholz standing next to him and a reporter asked Biden about Nord Stream, and Biden said there's going to be no Russian gas going into Germany, going into Europe. And the reporter asked Biden, but Mr. President, you don't control the pipeline. That's Germany's pipeline. And Olaf Scholz standing right next to Biden as Biden said, nah, there's going to be no oil crossing through that pipeline, making its way through that pipeline. We're going to guarantee that. And Olaf Scholz didn't do anything. He's just standing there. Okay. Oh boy. All right, let's do one more clown world and we'll wrap up this video. This is coming from the free expression section of the Wall Street Journal. The title of this article, I'm not sure what the free expression section of the Wall Street Journal is, by the way, but the title of the article is "The Future is Not Chinese. We have Apple, the NBA, and Sydney Sweeney. What do they have?" This is coming from the Wall Street Journal. What does China have? This article also says that what do they have? What have they done? TikTok. That's pretty much it, writes the Wall Street Journal. All they've done, all China has have done is TikTok. That's it. Well, we've got Sydney Sweeney. We've got Sydney Sweeney. They've got TikTok. Okay. And the NBA. Also have the NBA. We got the NBA, Sydney Sweeney, and all they've done is TikTok. What an incredible article from the Wall Street Journal. Free expression article. I guess that's like an op-ed or something. An opinion piece, I guess, is what a free expression article is. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. One sec. All right, more music. Got to turn down that audio. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We are on Telegram. We're also on TikTok. Check us out at on Substack. And check us out also at the Duran Shop. 30% off all t-shirts. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.